Welcome to Calvary Chapel, Wichita. May God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
Father, we do. We worship you, Lord. Father, we thank you. We praise you, Lord. And Lord, we pray that today, that as we go through your word, Lord, you would touch our hearts, Lord. Speak to us, Father. May we be there ready to hear what you have to say to each one of us, Lord. And Lord, as we go through this time that we set apart for the year of Thanksgiving, Lord, may we realize, Lord, that this is a thanksgiving we should give unto you each and every day with every breath that we take, Lord. Father, we thank you. We praise you. Most of all, Lord, we thank you for that plan of salvation you have for each one of us, Lord, that you have given to us freely with no catches, Lord. That love, that mercy you've given us by sending your Son here to die on that cross for us, Lord. And Lord Jesus, how you went to that cross freely, mercifully, Lord, just loving us to give us that opportunity, Lord. Father, may we be those children that would be honoring to you by lifting up our praises, giving that thanks to you, Lord. And Lord, once again, we thank you for what you have done in our lives, what you're about to do in our lives, Lord, what you're doing with us continually, each and every day, Lord. Father, we just ask that you be with us today. Mold us and guide us, Lord. And Lord, I pray that each one of us would take your word with us today and share it with the world, Lord, those that are lost, those that aren't in a condition that we have given ourselves to you, that, Lord, that they would be changed. They would be changed by your power, your word, Lord, your love and your mercy. Father, we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to be in Psalms 107 today. And, you know, as Larry prayed this morning about giving thanks daily, you know, I mean, it just fit right into this. This Psalms is a thanksgiving to the Lord for his great works of deliverance. So, I mean, what more of a gift can we have to us but being delivered from all of our, that destruction we was in, that death. And also, you know, as we've went through, we've went through different books, but 1 Peter and 2 Peter, we've been through those here on Sunday mornings and also in the home fellowships. Peter was reminding us as the Christian, God was reminding us, he gave him that word, that we need to continually be thankful in all of our trials that we go through, all of those things that, of joy. I mean, those are all things from the Lord. So, again, this time of year, we give thanks. But I just want to go through Psalms here because this is a time of thanksgiving, should be a daily thing that we should be doing. And in doing that, we will stay closer to the Lord. Even in those times that we are hurting, we're lost, we're struggling deeply. We think that the Lord is after us. Well, God's always after us to be, you know, close to his heart, because we are close to his heart, even when we're being disobedient. But to say he's after us just to thump us and correct us, no, he's not that way. He loves us into that condition. But this is a reminder, as this psalm is being, was written here to remind the children of Israel where they've been, what they've went through. But you know, guys, this is a reminder to us. As we go through this, we can see this in our daily, you know, when we're in the desert, when we're being, disobedient. God's always there, and we should be giving thanks to him for the work that he's already done in us, and that he's going to do with us. I mean, even when we are being that disobedient child. So, kind of going through that, of all things, I don't do many notes, but I wrote a few, so it'll probably be sketchy. I'm kind of bad with notes, but I'm trying to get better, trying to give more information in a useful form. But most of all, I just want to give it in the way God would have us to look into his word. So I think first, we'll just go ahead and read through all of Psalms 107. It won't be as beautiful when I read it as it is in my mind, because I tend to kind of butcher up words and put breaks in where it's not supposed to be. But I think God will speak to you and let you know here. So in first it says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gather out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in, hungry and thirsty. Their souls fainted in them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distress. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. Oh, the men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men." In 9 it says, "For he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Those who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, bound in afflictions and irons, because they rebelled against the words of God and despised the course of the Most High." In 12, "Therefore he brought down their hearts by labor." It says, they fell down, and there was none to help. "Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and broke their chains in pieces. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, and for the wonderful works to the children of men. For he has broken the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron in two. Fools because of their transgressions and because of their iniquities were afflicted. Their souls abhorred all manner of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distress. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from his destructions, from their destructions." It says, "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, they see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commands and raises the stormy winds, which lifts up the waves of the sea. They mount up to the heavens. They go down against the depths. Their souls melt because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distress. He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Then they are glad because they are quiet. So he guides them to their desired haven. Oh, the men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." It says, "Let them exalt him also in the assembly of the people and raise him in the company of the elders. He turns rivers into a wilderness and the water springs into a dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness. For the wickedness of those who dwell in it, he turns a wilderness into pools of water and dry land into springs. There he makes the hungry dwell, that they may establish a city for a dwelling place, and sow fields and plant vineyards, that they may yield a fruitful harvest. He also blesses them, and they multiply greatly, and he does not let their cattle decrease. It says, then they established and brought low, though oppression, affliction, and sorrow, he pours contempt on princes and causes them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Yet he sets the poor on high, far from affliction, and takes their families like a flock. The righteous see it and rejoice, and all iniquity stops its mouth. Whoever is wise will observe these things, and they will understand the loving kindness of the Lord. We could stop there. I mean, you know, really, if you really get to going through that, I mean, it's, whoa. It is a time of thanksgiving to remember what God has done. As we go through this, I wanted to bring out just a few little points here. 107, the psalm here, it reviews God's actions in the experiences of his people. And he's using illustrations through this, so we can be put right in this too. We've went through these storms. We've even went through this dry land. We went through the stubbornness. And every time, it was for his goodness that he had redeemed us. He bought us back. And he did that for all of mankind, not just for a few of us, but he did it for all mankind. So again, this is a remembering of what God's done for us, what he's doing for us, how we should continually give thanks to him. And also this psalm is to let us know that we should trust in the loyal love of our God. And there's 8 points of this structure of this that I wanted to kind of bring out as we'll kind of go back through this. Point one is a celebration of God's enduring loyal love as we see in verses 1-3. As we go back through it, it says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy, his goodness and his mercy is given to us, endures forever." It says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." Right there is letting us know we need to be giving that thanks for what he's done for us. He's bought us out of that death that we were in. He carries us through our troubles, our trials that we have. We've all had one trial or another, even recently. I mean, we've had those trials on our jobs. We've had trials of not even having a job. But God's right there. He's loving us. He's merciful. He's going to carry us through those things. Through our sickness, there's been many of us that are carrying on with sinuses and head colds. I mean, I kind of sound froggy today. But there's even many other illnesses that are much worse than just head colds. That God's right there carrying us through them, blessing us even as we're in that. It may even be coming close to our end of being here on this earth. And if we know the Lord, rejoice. I mean, I say that. But it is a time of rejoicing. We'd be home with the Lord soon. We will have to feel sorry for those who are still here. We'd have that heart of sorrow. But we still have that heart of joy of knowing that whoever is sick, that's in that condition of being able to leave us soon, will be healed permanently, being face to face with the Lord. And it also says, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. I mean, what a great promise that he has given us, that he was going to do that. All we had to do is say, Lord, I'm sinful. I need you. Take me. I mean, that's just seems too easy. When you look back and see what our Lord had done for us, I mean, he came here. He took all of that pain upon himself. That whipping, being speared in the side, all that ridicule, most of all, him being hung on that cross to die for us. We should praise him, because without that, there's no way we would ever make it. I don't care how hard we try. I can only go about 2 seconds, and I've already messed it up. I can't be good enough. I don't have that power other than through him. Because now I know that it's time to give thanks to him whenever I fall in those points, whenever I start doubting him even. When I'm in those conditions, I should be giving thanks to him. Ask for repentance for even thinking those things, and then give thanks. He pulls us out of that continually. Over and over, he's merciful to us. So showing his loyal love that he has for us. I mean, I can't even begin to mention the things that he does. His word tells us he won't forsake us. And it doesn't say sometimes. No, he'll never forsake us as long as we're seeking him. We give ourselves to him. As long as we're not trying to blaspheme him and turn ourselves and run away from him, he's not going to forsake us. Even when we do run away from him, he's still standing there waiting. Come back. Be thankful. Be repentful. And he'll make us clean and new again. And one of the second points is an affirmation that God meets the needs of those who wander in the wilderness. We'll see that through verses 4 through 9. I think every one of us has already seen that even in our lives, that, oh, we think it's bad. But we'll see that in the next moment when we cry out to the Lord like they did here, he was right there. I don't think he was right there just waiting for us to cry out, you know, making us wait. He was waiting for us to change our hearts so we would look to him and realize that he is the one who's going to pull us out of that despair that we're in. Or, like we all were at one time, that death that we was in. He didn't want any of us to even start out that way. Mankind did that. That was the plan. He ended up, we as men, we ruined God's perfect plan. Or did we? Maybe this is his perfect plan, which I think it is, because his whole deal is to love us. And he wants us to love him back with that heart of thanksgiving. How can you do that if he makes a creature that would just automatically do exactly what he wanted to do constantly? That's known as a robot. I mean, that you can program that to do what you want. It works fine until electricity kind of fails on it, but I mean, it works great. That isn't what God wanted. He wants those who would love him. Love him as he loves us. Have that thankful heart. And again, that was in 4 through 9. It says, they wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in, hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted in them. Just that part right there, that reminds me how I was when I was not saved in the world. I wandered in the wilderness, thought I was cool, thought I had it made. Oh, this is easy. But then again, I was always thirsty and hungry, still needing something, always needed something, always kept looking. Until I finally had some men that come to my house and shared what the thing was I needed. Oh, what a feeling. And in 6 it says, they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. That's what he did for all of us whenever we finally come to that point and cried out, realized that we did need him. That's salvation. And when we cried out, he was right there. He didn't say, no, I don't have time for you right now, even though we didn't have time for him for however long it was before we asked for him to be in our heart, to take our lives. He was there ready, waiting. He said he delivered them out of their distress. He delivered us out of that distress. It says, and he led them forth by the right way, by his plan, by righteousness, by cleanliness. He cleansed us, led us that right way. We all know who the one is who wants to lead us down the other path. He knows where he's going. He wants a lot of company. So he's always going to try to trip us up. Even his brothers and sisters now, he's going to be out there trying to make us fall, trying to trip us. Just be remembering of the different studies that we've had, of God's word, of being thanksgiving, having that time of thanksgiving for what he's done. Are we going to fail? Sure, we're going to fail. Just don't forget that we need to get back up, ask for forgiveness, let him build us and him strengthen us. And in 8 it says, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for the wonderful works to the children of men. God's doing these things to point the glory to him. How are we going to do that? How are we going to point the glory to God for what he's done? We're going to do it one way in this thanksgiving. How are we going to do that? Share with someone our brother? Share with someone who's lost in the world? What a way we can actually show what God's goodness is. I restate that he didn't just have this plan for a few people. It's a shame that there's a few who think that it's just a certain number and that's it. Is there only going to be a certain number? Yes, but it's a number God knows of. He knows when that will be. But his whole plan is that all men, women, and children will come to him as his redeemed, his purchased ones back. You know, I think back on how our Lord feels. And that seems odd. How does your Lord feel? Well, I think he's very sorrowful whenever those who, and he knows who it will be, will reject him, and they end up, he is the judge and has to judge them and appoint to receive that death that they want because they're rejecting him. He's not rejecting them. They are rejecting him. So let's be thankful. Let's have that time of thanksgiving. Our Lord loves us to the point that he keeps pulling upon us, keeps drawing us. When we stumble and fall, he doesn't spank us, send us off in the corner and say, sit there, you've messed up it once again. He loves us back. Lets us know, hey, I'm there with you. I'll carry you through it. I'll fill every need. And in 9 it says, for he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. And that hungry soul, again, is just seeking after him. It's wanting to know him more. And he'll do that with his goodness. He'll fill us with what his knowledge, his wisdom is. The knowledge that we have to have is, where do we go to find it? We go to his foot of his cross. We seek him. We look in his word. We pray to him. He will give us that wisdom. He'll give us that direction. He'll give us that mercy and grace that we need. We don't deserve it, but we do need it. And then the third point here, assurance that God delivers those in exile or in prison. And we can see that in verses 10 through 16. It says, those who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death. I keep going back to the time I was in the world. I wouldn't know of any other prison that we were all in that was any worse. Yeah, man can lock us up, put us in jail, those kind of things. But does that prison really commit you to an eternal death? I don't think so. There's been very many men and women who have given their life to God and have been used mightily by Him during that time. So it can't be this prison here on earth that we're talking about. It's that prison of death, that prison eternal death. That if we don't even make a choice, we made the choice for that. It says, bound in afflictions and irons. It says, because they rebelled against the words of God. That's where we all were when we were in the world. We rebelled against His word. He was always there drawing us, trying to change us, love us into a condition where we would seek Him. He said, and despise the counsel of the Most High. We didn't despise the counsel of our friend who was trying to share the word with us. We didn't despise maybe one of the ladies that was talking to us, or if we was at a grocery store or something, maybe it was somebody there who just gave you a word of God bless you. We didn't despise them for saying that. We always, oh, God, He don't have anything to do with me. That's just somebody's made up belief. No, it was God we were despising when we said those things. So even today, now that we're, that we're even Christians, whenever we feel that God's forsaken us, just remembering His word. No, He doesn't forsake us. He's going to be right there to carry us through that trial. What will that trial do for us? It's hard for us to understand. It's hard for me to understand. I just don't understand it. But if I put my trust in God, He says it will make us better for His glory, for His goodness. And in 12 it says, therefore be brought down by their heart with labor. It says, they fell down and there was none to help. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke their chains in pieces. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for the wonderful works to the children of men. There really wasn't anyone else. We had family and those who cared about us. But you know, after a while, even family, okay, you guys, you just keep doing that. You keep doing it. Pretty soon, well, I just don't want to hear about it no more. We have that happen in our own families whenever we were in that way of being disobedient, being, not wanting to hear of the Lord being spoke to us, of the Lord speaking to us. They couldn't help us. But finally, once we got into that condition, realizing there is no help, we cried out to the one that we wanted to reject. I mean, praise God, this is His plan. Praise God that He has that mercy and that grace to just continually keep drawing upon us to where we would finally make that choice. Praise God, we made the choice of choosing Him. Being thankful to the Lord for His great works of deliverance. Wasn't anything we could do. It was what He has done that we're thankful. And in 16 it says, for he has broken the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron into pieces. And then in the fourth point, a declaration that God saves the foolish who called to him. And I got to admit, at times I'm that foolish one. I mean, I don't want to hear what he has to say at times. And the bad thing is, there's a lot of times I don't want to hear it. I'm the one that doesn't like to be told you're wrong. Even though I know it, I just don't like to be told you're wrong. So that would be the foolish here. And we'll see that in verse 17 through 22. And the word fools or foolish, it sounds so harsh. But when you're dealing with what God is doing for us, that word's really not even harsh enough when we're being that way. It says, fools, because of their transgressions and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. It says, their souls abhorred all manner of food. I had to have that one looked up. My thought was it was somebody who hated it. Well, thank God that that was it. It was their souls hated all manner of food. Well, what food are we talking about? We're talking about the food that the Lord gives us. That food of his knowledge, that food of his mercy, his love, his grace. And you know, that really made me feel very much like a fool. I cried out to him. I asked for him to be my Savior. He said, yes, I will be here. You're forgiven of all. And then I come back and I want to be the fool of not wanting to receive his food that he's given me. I wanted to hate his food when I'm being foolish. That's why I say the words sound harsh, but really they're not. We need to be thankful that the Lord wants to keep giving us that word. He wants to keep blessing us, keep drawing us to him. And in 19, oh, I'll be able to finish 18, it says, and they drew near to the gates of death. It says, they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distress. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, the men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. I think we see the theme constantly keep going through here. There isn't anything we've done here other than being disobedient a lot. But God is always there wanting to deliver us from that destruction. As soon as we cry out, he'll do it. I just urge us all to let's cry out every moment to him. God, carry me through this study I'm doing today. Oh, it's fearful being up here, guys. But it's joyful to be able to share God's word. I don't want anybody to hear words of Raymond. I want them to hear words of God. That he loves you. He's merciful. And he does all of these things for his goodness. But it doesn't stop there. I always like it where he finishes that verse. It says, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And the most wonderful work that we know of is him going to the cross, dying for us, buying us out of that bondage, that death that we were in. Thanksgiving to the Lord. And the fifth point is God's salvation to those caught in storms. I see this point in every verse that we've read, honestly. But that's in verses 23 through 32. It says, let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. So as we go through the things on this earth and we sacrifice things, let's declare them in His works that He's done through us. He's carried us through that struggle. Let's rejoice. I know we've been going through this quite a bit lately, but honestly, we need to rejoice in everything that the Lord is doing with us. He's carrying us through these trials. He's carrying us through everything we're doing. Oh, it's easy to rejoice in those times that are good. We're able to just sing and be happy. It's easy to praise the Lord then. Let's remember, though, it's easy even in those times that we consider sad, hurtful, painful. Our God died upon the cross for us. Let's rejoice. It says, those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, they see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. For He commands and raises the stormy wind, which lifts up the waves of the sea. They mount up to the heavens. They go down again to the depths. We know that roller coaster up and down of things. But we've also noticed that God is steadfast here. He's the calmness of all of it. Even in those times, those up and downs that we're in, we need to look to the One who is strong, steadfast, the calm. I mean, this example here of a storm out on the sea, I've never sailed. I really don't want to. It's too deep for me. But, you know, you can see how the waters on the lakes around here, how high they can get when the winds blow. Imagine how they can be out in the ocean where there's a lot more turmoil that can be there. It's a bigger, vaster space for the winds, and even now we notice the earthquakes even causing a lot of these waves. How high they can get. But let's not look at that. Let's not look at that. What do I want to say? As a destruction? Let's look at it as a joy that God's going to carry us through that time. He says He will. He'll protect us through it. And He's going to do it for His good. And it says, they reel to and fro and stagger like drunken men. And we've seen waves. They're everywhere. So that's the way the struggles would be. A lot of times they're everywhere. They're not where we think they're going to come from. They're always from somewhere else, it seems like. Just keep our eyes on the Lord. It says, He calms the storm. Oh, I'm sorry, I jumped a bunch. It says, and all at their wits' end. That's us. We get to that point. We all get to our wits' end. We don't know what to do when those times come up. God's Word tells us. Then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and He brings them out of their distress. He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Then they are glad because they are quiet. So He gives them to their desire haven. He brings them to their desired haven. It says, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. And we as men and women, we always do this. We wait until that storm is very high, very banging against us, before we start crying out to Him. We just need to continually look to Him. Continually keep seeking Him. And I'm not saying the waters are going to be calm perfectly just because we're continually seeking Him. But we will know that He is there continually with us. He will take care of it. So now we can take that strength of His, knowing that He's going to do that. We can trust in Him. So as we go through those things, however hard they may be, we don't go through it alone. If we go through it in our own strength, we will be destroyed. We just need to seek Him, give it to Him. It still may hurt. I'm not going to say that. I don't want anybody to think, oh, as long as we just keep praying continually, there will not be any pain. That isn't what God's Word says. If you pick up your cross and follow Him, why should we deserve anything less than what He took? Expect it. Expect that pain. Now, that's a good way to tell somebody, hey, come and be a Christian. But there's more to it. It's an eternal. It's that part that once we leave here and we're with Him, that if those don't pick up that cross and don't receive Him, they'll never know. Well, I say they'll never know. I believe that's going to be part of their turmoil, is they will know. And they was that close to be able to accept it and didn't take it. We, as God's children, need to keep sharing that with others. We don't want to see them in that condition upon that last day. And then on the sixth point that we're going to look at here, it says, God's provision for those in barren lands. And we see that 33 through 38. He turns rivers into a wilderness, and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness. It says, for the wickedness of those who dwell in it. That's why He does it. It's not to punish us. It's for those that are wicked that dwell in this land is why that's done. And why is He doing that? He's trying to draw upon them to let them see. Cry out to Him. I need You. And look what He ends up doing here. He turns a wilderness into pools of water and dry land into water springs. There He makes the hungry dwell, that they may establish a city for a dwelling place, and sow fields and plant vineyards, that they may yield a fruitful harvest. He does that to bring us into His body so that we'll be redeemed back. Then once we're there, He even plants us in that condition to where we're out there helping with the harvest of the fruit. It's God's work. All we're doing is sharing. He's going to be the one doing that, but we're going to praise Him and rejoice with Him as all of those who come back in, all of those who have come to God. I mean, just to look out and see the faces that are here now. It's a rejoicing to be able to know where you're all going to be. And the thing that I like is I get to be there with you and be able to praise the Lord with you. So we need to look to those that are in the world that are that away. We'll be sorrowful because they're not. We need to be able to give them what God says for us to give them. It may just be, God bless you. It may be to give them what's going to happen because they choose not to even make a choice. And a lot of people are that way. Well, as long as I ignore it and don't make that choice, I'm okay. Well, I was one of those people for quite a long time. There's times I still figure, well, if I just kind of ignore it a while, it'll go away. It never goes away. It comes back. You still have to make the choice. But with God, if you stay to that condition, reject Him for whenever that last time is, He offers Himself. By just not making the choice, you made it. The seventh point is an affirmation that God multiplies people who are diminished. We can see that in ourselves. Whenever we're down, God comes back and rebuilds us and builds us up as long as we look to Him. And that would be in verses 39 through 42. It says, when they are diminished and brought low through oppression, afflictions, and sorrow, He pours contempt on princes and causes them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Yet He steps the poor on, or sets the poor on high, far from affliction, and makes their families like a flock. The righteous see it and rejoice, and all iniquity stops its mouth. That's what God does with us. He comes in. Again, though, we're going to ask for Him to do that. But how are we going to do that? Keep praising Him. Keep giving Him thanks for what He's done. He's going to oppress those that are depressing you, trying to crush you. The one that is trying to do that to you. It's not necessarily that friend that's next to us, our brother or sister. Yeah, they're wicked. But it's the enemy who's doing that through them, trying to destroy us even. But in our afflictions and sorrows, God's going to set us up on high, far from the affliction. And then we will be the righteous, seeing and rejoicing, and all iniquity stops its mouth. As we rejoice in the Lord, that does stop. There's times we think, oh no, man, this has been going on a long time. Well, for eternity, even if it's 2 days, 3 months, 1 year, 2 years, that's just a short period of time. But God's going to stop it for eternity when we rejoice and pick Him. And the last point is a call to rediscover the loyal love of God. And we see that in 43. Whoever is wise will observe these things, and they will understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Now, a lot of us are wise, but this wise, I believe, is the one who's seeking the Lord, crying out to Him, asking for that forgiveness. That's the wise He's talking about. Not necessarily wise of head knowledge. And He says that once we're redeemed back, we'll understand. We'll understand the loving kindness of the Lord. As we notice, this psalm has had the key point at the start and at the end. The key point of the Psalms is that God's mercy endures forever. He is always, not some of the time. Dade gave a teaching just the other night about the blessings being poured out upon us. And the one word was not some, not a few. Every heavenly blessing. Every. And I thought it was so heartwarming, so uplifting to hear that our Lord, He didn't just set aside a few. He's going to give us everything. And the illustration that Dade gave about the universe, how big it is. That's how big those blessings are, how many they are. So in our times now that we're struggling, that we're feeling broken down, that we're feeling weak, give thanks to the Lord, because He has a huge blessing for us. As long as we call out upon Him, He's always willing to restore us whenever we're feeling bad, when we're feeling down. He'll give us every need that we, He'll fill every need that we have as long as we're looking to Him for those to be filled. They're calling him in. So, well, anyway, I just want to share that with you guys. I mean, this psalm was uplifting to my heart. And with what we've gone through, with what we're all going through, what this country's going through, let's just look to the Lord. Let's give thanks to Him and for what He has done, for His great works He's done for His children. He's delivered us from all of this. No, it isn't today. We're still feeling the pain, but it is there. We are delivered. Let's rejoice. Let's finish in prayer. Father God, we just thank You. Lord Jesus, thank You for being that obedient Son to go to that cross, that work that You have done for us. For we are so lowly, Lord, but yet we are so important to You. We're Your creation. You love us, Lord. And Lord, we only love You because of that love You've poured out upon us first, Father. Lord, we say thank You. Those words seem to fall short. And Lord, they will if we don't put into action what Your word has done for us. Father, I pray that each one of us, as we even leave here today, Lord, we would share the joy that You have given us, Lord. The things that You carry us through, Father, our sicknesses, our rough, stormy seas, Lord. And in doing that, Lord, that it would uplift. You would be able to minister to those who are already hurting, Lord, that know You. Most of all, Lord, that You would draw those who are rejecting You. And with those words, Lord, we pray that we would be a vessel to be used by You to have them give themselves to You. Lord, we thank You. We praise You. We ask for Your Holy Spirit to be with us continually, Lord, that we would seek You in all that we do, and we would give continual thanks, not just one time a year, Lord, but continually thank You for that mercy, that love, that grace You've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. If you have any questions, please contact us at area code 316-263-3804. Or check us out on the web at www.calvarychapelwichita.org.